Hello, praise Jesus, and welcome to this episode on anchor.fm/thetruthis with myself, Evangelist Joseph P. Hackney. Today's date is Wednesday, February the 20th, 2019. You can follow me here on Anchor as well as on Facebook page titled The Truth Is, which is a sister page to my Facebook, Mark 16:15 Internet Ministries. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel under the username of Preacher/Gospel Productions by Joe Hackney, and also on Instagram at Gospel Productions by Joe Hackney at Mark 16:15. Now, before I get into the message here, I just want to say a short prayer. I pray that whoever might be listening, that you would pray along with me, that we might be in agreement, Lord, that the Lord will have his way and his will be done and not ours. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come before thee. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, God, be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that you give us our daily bread, Lord. And Lord, as we hear this word, God, we preach this word, Lord, we're eating bread, God. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless us, Lord, with your word daily today, oh God. Bless us with the motivation to bathe and saturate ourselves in your word. For God, there's no other name under heaven by where we must be saved than by the name of Jesus. And I thank you tonight, God, for all that you do and all that you will be doing, God. And I thank you, Lord, for this message I believe that you gave me to share tonight, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to know you. Lord, who am I that you should know me? Who am I that I should be able to come into your presence tonight, God? You are an awesome God. You are the Almighty. I just give you praise, Lord, and I pray for your spirit, God, to fall upon your people, God. Not even right now as we're hearing and preaching and listening to this, but God, all over the world tonight, God, I pray for your spirit to come down. Father, revive your people today. Put a fire under us, a fresh word tonight, oh God, a fresh anointing tonight, oh God. Lord, Father, you said a new thing that you would be doing. And Lord, I see that we coming into this internet age, God, this is a very new thing tonight, God. And I just pray, Lord, that I do know that when any time society or anything, God, it transitions from one place to the next, usually in the midst of that translation, there's chaos and it seems like disorder and things. It's just like when you came, God, upon the earth. You know, the Jewish, the transition between you dying for our sins and allowing the Gentiles to be grafted in with your people, the Jewish people. There was a great transition going on there. It was a great turmoil and it was misunderstandings. There were arguments and you know, people, the apostles were trying to put together all this stuff. And I know, Lord, we're going from the age of where we were at into the internet age. And Lord, there's a lot of people have a lot of different opinions, God, about the pros and cons of preaching and getting your word from the internet even. But I just pray tonight, oh God, it doesn't matter to me, God. You spoke through a jackass once. Lord, if you want your word to go forth, and if I ain't here to do it, you will replace me. You'll put somebody in there that will do it. And if there are church members, congregation in the churches that don't want to be motivated to get up off their pews and to go out and disciple for themselves other people too, that Father, I just pray, Father, that you would remove them out. And I pray that you bring your true spirit and your true people back into the church, God, that you are back up on the pulpit, God, and we won't settle for anything less, God, than your spirit and your anointing. And I just pray, God, that the people, Lord, that the word goes forth and doesn't fall on empty ears, deaf ears, but God, I pray that it would saturate their minds to the point that it motivates them and they're able to hear what the Spirit has to say to your church. And God, I just pray for motivation. I pray, God, for your spirit, Lord, to just engulf us tonight, God. And I believe you gave me this message, I pray, Father, that it goes forth, Lord, and it will accomplish that which you have given it to me to deliver to whoever. I don't know, but you do know, God. And I just give you thanks and I give you praise for your spirit, because, God, you said that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us to be witnesses unto you, unto the uttermost parts of the world. And in on something like this, the internet, God, your word's going out more today than it ever has in all of creation. And I just pray, Father, that you just Pour out your spirit, Lord, as your word says. Pour out your spirit, Lord, that upon this generation, God, that we would just be witnesses unto you with power and effectiveness, with whole minds and with thankfulness and being always ready and eager to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that we say, not my will, but thine be done. That we put you first in all things tonight, God. And I just pray, Father, for this word, like I said, this message to go forth. I give you thanks and I give you praise. And the needs of the people that might be listening, Lord, they may have prayer requests and stuff. I want to lift them up in the name of Jesus, God. I don't know what the problems are or whatever may be. I don't need to know, God, but you already know. And I stand, God, in agreement with to pray for them, Lord, to bring back mostly spiritual health. That, Father, you'd pour out your spirit upon people. And that to the point they're not concerned about wanting anything that the world can offer. They're only thinking about you. They're only chasing after you tonight. They only want what you want them to have. That, God, you would put your desires and new desires into your people. That, Father, we can raise that we can help each other, Lord, and we can feed off one another, and that we don't become such a dead congregation, and we don't have undertakers as preachers. But I speak life, God, back into individuals, Lord, that it would overflow into the churches. That, Lord, we would demand to bring you back to the pulpit, and that we would kick out all the Dr. Phils that's standing up trying to preach and things like that. And I just pray that the congregation isn't just stale and lazy and unmotivated. I pray, God, that the word, God, comes forth out of every pulpit in this world, and that it motivates the congregation not to be satisfied with just being preached at, but it would motivate and provoke them to get up go out and make disciples of themselves. For you said to go and preach. God, we're all called to preach. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would motivate the congregation to not only be a hearer only, but a doer also of your word, and that we would receive with meekness the engrafted word of yours, God, that's able to save our souls. I praise you and I thank you in the name of Jesus for all these things, and I ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah, amen. This message, I titled it, The Word of God is Not Poetry, but rather it's truth. And the truth is that the world just loves to speak about love. One post in particular that I actually came across today, it said this. When the soul is illuminated by love, the whole world is beautiful. I don't know when you see that, read that, or hear it coming out of my mouth. I don't know what you think automatically. I'll read it one more time and see if there's something in there that you can catch about it. When the soul is illuminated by love, the whole world is beautiful. While this may sound like it makes perfect sense and it's worthy to believe, it's actually a deceptive quote at its core. And most people would see nothing wrong with such poetry as this. And the sadness I feel after reading these type of quotes is due mostly because they are shared and posted by people who claim to be Christians. And that's why I feel that it's my duty and yours also to educate and disciple the body of Christ and one another in order to equip people and one another with wisdom and understanding, that although to quote or share posts that describe love in this manner, it can be misleading to someone who might be young in the Lord or to the world who might be eavesdropping in about what true love really is. And as a man of God, it's important to me that I'm effective in motivating the body of Christ to not just be preached to, but that you will become active in your own walk with God and to grow in your faith enough that you will remain active and alive in discipling others also in the truth of God's word. If the congregation is not moved to know Christ for themselves, but merely be satisfied with just being preached to, it becomes a dead congregation. And the preacher becomes basically an undertaker. And if the preacher isn't passionate about motivating the people then that whole church will become blind and dead. And if you are a person that bathes in God's word daily, you should be familiar with these parables. If the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. And the other one, let the dead bury dead. That can very well relate into the church right there. The blind leading the blind and the dead burying their dead. In Luke chapter 6, verse 39, it spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Luke chapter 9, verse 60, Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So for this quote about love illuminating the world, it would be correct if it had not have left out God from the message. For it to be worthy of repeating, it ought to read something like this, that when the soul is illuminated by God's love / the love of Jesus Christ, the whole world is beautiful. The truth is, many Christians are basically in love with their personal perception of what love means. They are in love with the idea of what love means to them, despite what the Bible says about love. And when we leave God out of anything in life, whether our words or our actions, it's impossible to please God. It's plain foolish to believe God would endorse anything that excludes himself. The truth is, most people are in love with the God that fits into their perception of who and what God is and means to them. A good example is how most people, say, would view Hollywood actors and things. They develop opinions and judgments about these celebrities based on their roles and characters that they play on television or the big screen. And many people will either like or dislike a person based on a certain role or character that the celebrity is playing. And most people have never met their favorite actors, and therefore they have no real knowledge of what their favorite actors' personal lives are even like. And so what happens, they develop in their minds what they imagine their lives are like, when in reality, they've never met their Hollywood fantasy and spent some actual time with them for like a little while. Because if they did, they would probably be disappointed with the outcome. They'd see firsthand just how misled they were about what they thought that person would be like. And so in like fashion, the average Christian doesn't study and bathe in the Word of God. If you're not bathing and just reading the Word of God, you could develop the same type of scenario towards God. You will claim to love Jesus, but it's a love that has a worldly definition that in no way defines God's true love. And such a Christian will go through life perceiving God to be what they imagine him to be, what they've made him up in their mind. And they don't want to know the truth because the truth might ruin their imagination and perception of who and what God is to them. And without biblical knowledge of God's love, they will continue to worship and serve a God that's only a figment of their imaginations, believing that they are right and okayed and justified in their lifestyles. But the truth is, a Christian who is chasing the love of God will make it their quest to know Jesus Christ based on the Word of God and not by some poetic imagination of who they perceive Jesus to be. You might think this article is kind of, I'm being a little technical here, but the truth is, can we afford to be loose in our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God and who he truly is? Do you believe he would be okay with anything less than the truth? Chase the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, Old and New Testaments, and never take for granted that you know what Jesus would say or do without actually reading the Bible and searching for the real God of the Bible, and not rely on your worldly imagination of who you perceive him to be. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" He knew who the world thought he was. He wanted to make sure his disciples knew who he was, because they were going to be responsible for expanding and teaching the kingdom of God that Jesus had established here on earth. And it's very important that we as God's children know the true character and person that Jesus Christ is, based on the Bible and not on our own perceived wisdom and imaginations. Book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah's, and one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And what's great about that those scriptures in context is Jesus hadn't revealed yet to these disciples of who he truly was. This is really early on in the ministry that Jesus. And so for Peter to have that kind of knowledge, basically, Jesus told him, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. Jesus was flesh and blood right there also. He's both man and God. He was flesh and God. And Jesus hadn't even taught them yet. And so there's proof and evidence there that God, you know, he can draw us and give us wisdom and knowledge that we just have it, you know. And when God's Spirit is pulling at us like that, we will want to chase after God's grace. Most people only want to believe their own personal perceptions of life and of God, because the truth doesn't fit into their fantasy world they'd rather live in. The truth always destroys anything that is contrary to itself. And anything that's not true, it's a lie. So stop believing in lies and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Find that in the book of James, chapter 1 and 21. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Poetry will never lead you to the truth. No matter how beautiful the quotes or the songs are that we like to read and sing, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus react to the world's poetry and song lyrics? Don't assume that you know these answers without knowing them according to what the Bible says he would say or do. We need to pray, read. Pray and read. Saturate yourself and bathe in God's word every day. Get to know Jesus as the scriptures reveal, and stop being deceived by the world's definition of love and beauty. Study God's word so that you can honestly and joyfully worship God in the beauty of holiness. Understanding that to love God is to obey God. Obeying God's commands will create beauty and holiness in us. If you don't know God, you do not know love. For no God, no love, no God, no love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Go with God and you will never be wrong. In the name of Jesus, amen.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.